Lindsay McDougall on 97.3 ABC Illawarra.
That's right. And as you heard on Nick Reinberger's morning show today, children with ear deformities will soon be able to get printed ears made from their own stem cells in what researchers are hailing as a huge breakthrough. Tucked away, as I said, in an industrial state in Wollongong, south of Sydney. Oh, this is the Sydney story. Tucked away in Wollongong, researchers have developed a way of printing human cartilage from stem cells printed on a 3D printer and is now being trialled at Sydney's Royal Prince Alfred Hospital. Professor Gordon Wallace met with Nick Reinberger at the offices of the Translational Research Initiative for Cellular Engineering and Printing, or TRICEP. That's quite obviously a reverse engineered acronym there, TRICEP. He starts by explaining the complexities of making bioink.
We use a bioink in 3D printing in order to create 3D structures containing living cells. So the demands of a bioink are huge. They have to be able to provide printability, obviously. You have to be able to build structures that retain their mechanical integrity. But importantly, they have to protect the living cells during the printing process and ensure those cells are in the right environment after printing in order to develop into the type of tissue or the type of cells that we want.
So you have to put these living cells under incredible pressure, I understand, to push them through the equivalent of an inkjet printer head. What do you have to do to enable you to do that?
So what we do is we use, turns out, naturally occurring materials that we can get from things like seaweed or trees, in the case of cellulose. And so we use those naturally occurring materials that are actually what we call shear thinning. So that means that during the printing process, they absorb all of the energy and they protect the cell during the printing. And it just turns out they have all of the right chemical moieties to make sure that the cell develops in the right way after printing. We have high survival rates and that they differentiate exactly the way we want them to into the particular cells that we want.
And at the same time as developing these chemicals, you're also developing the machines to do the printing work. Tell us about that part of the business.
Every clinical challenge that's brought to us involves developing the complete package. You know, so whether that's for 3D printed ears or whether it's for printing cells into the knee for cartilage regeneration or for the islet cell transplantations, what we're finding is that each one of those applications requires a dedicated, customised printer. Because the surgeon in the clinical environment, of course, doesn't want to feel like he's gone into an airplane cockpit in order to drive this printer. They've told me, actually, they want two buttons, on and off. So we've got to really dedicate the printer to do some very complex operations, but in a very simple way. So we build customised printers for every clinical challenge that's brought to us.
I know you've been developing the BioPen to essentially draw cartilage onto someone's knee. Now you've moved on to being able to print an ear. What are the challenges in printing a structure such as the external organ of the ear?
Yeah, so this challenge was brought to us by Dr. Pale Mukherjee at the Royal Prince Alfred. And Pale treats children with microtia that have a bit of the ear or maybe the whole ear missing. And Pale became familiar with our work on printing for regenerating cartilage in the knee and approached us with this challenge and said, you know, well, can we grow that cartilage in a way that it starts to replicate or replace that missing ear? And it seemed like an easy challenge at first because, you know, printing the replicate the shape of the ear is very easy with 3D printing. We can scan and we can reverse the image and we can replicate the shape. But of course, the ear is very complex. If you look at feel the distribution and mechanical properties, they're quite stiff to really soft. So here was our first challenge. How could we print a scaffold with a single material, because we want it simple, that replicates that distribution of structure and that distribution of mechanical properties in the ear? And we've got some very clever researchers here that came up with ways to do that. Using a single material, but just creating a scaffold where we distribute different pore size and different strut size within the scaffold in order to replicate that distribution of mechanical properties in the ear. And then there's another bit. So that's just the shape and the mechanical properties. And now we need a soft material that we can actually grow the cartilage through, because that soft material has to protect the cells during printing. And then it has to be the right material where we can proliferate those cells and differentiate them into cartilage. So now we needed a multi-head printer, one that could do all of that complex shape, structure and mechanical distribution, but also could distribute the cells where we want them to regenerate the cartilage.
That seriously is such amazing technology. You heard there Professor Gordon Wallace telling Nick that it all started with a chat between his team and Associate Professor Payal Mukherjee, an ear, nose and throat surgeon at RPA. And Associate Professor Payal Mukherjee joins me now on Drive. Hello there.
Hello, how are you?
I'm pretty blown away by this. How are you? How excited are you to able to be start trialing this?
I'm so excited. So I think, you know, particularly being on the clinical front and seeing the clinical need and then going back to your patients and saying that, look, I think, you know, we're close to a solution. It's just an extremely rewarding experience.
So have you been able to tell your patients, yeah, we're on the way to being able to do this?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, we're not up to clinical trials yet, but, you know, we're definitely progressing up at a very rapid pace thanks to, you know, the fantastic team that we have working towards this.
When you first approached Professor Wallace's team, tell me about that and what the reaction was.
It's been positive and really limitless. And, you know, Gordon, as you know, is just a very inspirational man and has insatiable energy, which usually when, as a surgeon, you know that, you know, surgeons function with very little sleep and have a lot of energy. Gordon beats any surgeon, hands down.
Really?
Yes.
I reckon he was like there sort of on Montague Street in Wollongong well into the night working on this printer?
Oh, I think the rapidity, the speed at which we've done this would not have been possible without such a multidisciplinary team, totally committed towards solving a problem, taking it apart, putting it together, and also, you know, having fun at the same time.
Of course. Oh, that is great. All right. So what potential? Tell me about the potential this could have for patients. And is it limited to ears, or is this just the beginning of other cartilaginous body parts?
Yeah, this is definitely the beginning. So the whole ear, nose, throat anatomy relies on cartilage. So for me, to start off with the ear was a strategic strategic step, because technically the ear is difficult in the way it looks. It's out there, but it doesn't have, you know, it doesn't support the skull base. It doesn't support the breathing pipe. So it was a safer project to start with. And, you know, given that it is actually a very complex 3D shape, if we could crack the code for the ear, we're going to be able to translate it to the nose and also the throat. So for me, although the project addresses a congenital condition called microtia and ideally, you know, aimed at children, the application, of course, is for adults as well who have problems with who've lost their ear due to either cancer or due to trauma. And then, of course, we can translate to the nose as well as the throat. I think the biggest thing about this is not just possible in Australia, that, you know, we're already working with collaborators internationally to build building blocks with them. So we can, when we are doing clinical trials, we do global clinical trials.
You know what else is made entirely of cartilage? Sharks. Could you potentially print 3D print sharks?
Oh, I think, you know, we have enough of those in Australia.
That is a good point. What we don't have is working ears for a lot of Australian children.
That's right.
So, yes, thank you for focusing on the important thing. That's just one of those things that I thought I should get off
my chest. I don't treat sharks, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's fair enough. I know you are, I know you're a finalist in the Women of the Year Award. I promise this won't go against your judgment that you don't work with sharks. Oh, it's just such a great moment in potential for medical science and technology.
Yeah.
So it's great to chat to you and to hear about it this morning. And I think there might be a video that'll pop up soon on ABC Illawarra Facebook page as well, so people can actually see how this works. Thank you so much for chatting to us, and congratulations for being at the forefront of this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for your time.
Cheers. That is Associate Professor Payal Mukherjee chatting there about the bio ear, 3D printed ear, which you heard this morning a little bit now from the Translational Research Initiative for Cellular Engineering and Printing. I love that they backward engineered that acronym, because it is pronounced TRICEP. Very good stuff. You're listening to ABC Illawarra. We're going to get some live music very soon.